In the beginning, God created. It's a topic that has been highly discussed from the first moment we questioned the purpose of our existence. And we're going to be talking about that today on the show, coming up next right here on the Parker J. Cole Show. This edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm your host, Parker J. I'm so very happy you are here with me. Like I said in the introduction of the show, we're going to be discussing the words, "In the beginning, God created." This phrase has caused so much fever, so many arguments. Friendships have been torn apart. Whole schools of thoughts have erupted all from these words, "In the beginning, God created." Why do you think that is? Because there is a philosophical rendering behind these five words that have a massive impact on why we are here, what our purpose is in life, if we have a purpose, who brought us here, who's, as one creation scientist said, who is running the ship. And so we're going to be talking about this today and so much more with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Chafee. He is an author and apologist, and he's also the content manager at the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, which I know some of us listening are so excited to hear about. So what I want you to do is this. Go ahead, get your friends, come on, tell them to listen in. They can listen in on their phones. They can click on the link within the show description. And if you want to listen on your phones and call in and weigh in on our topic, you can. Call in at 646-668-8485, then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about "In the Beginning, God Created." At first, when I was coming up with this title, I was just going to say "In the Beginning." But then I thought, you know what? We need to put that in full context. "In the beginning, God created." I'm going to give just a little bit of my background behind why I'm so excited about this particular episode of the Parker J. Cole Show. It is because several years ago, probably 10 now, I was challenged by an atheist, and you guys heard me tell this story before. I was challenged by an atheist, and at the time, he asked me questions that I did not have answers to at that time because I wasn't sophisticated in understanding some of his arguments. And some people, when they are faced with difficult questions they don't know how to answer, for some reason, people leave the faith. Or they say, well, obviously, since I don't have an answer to it, no one has an answer to it. Therefore, I have to leave. I can't no longer stand on this foundation of Christ. That's not the case. What I did end up doing, I started to get into apologetics. And what got me into apologetics wholeheartedly was this very thought. In the beginning, God created. I got into the creation and evolution debate. I read everything from the broader picture of creation versus evolution to the smaller picture about intelligent design, young earth creationism, older creationism, and theistic evolution. And then I got into some other stuff. And so that's how I got into apologetics. This was my topic. During those several years, I ate up everything I possibly could about this topic. And it's no wonder to me that God is slowly bringing me back into my apologetics. And as you notice, some of these shows have been more and more apologetical bent because the Lord is calling me to have these type of discussions. We are living in a time where people say, I don't care if it's true. I want to do what I want to do. It's not even relative anymore. They can say, oh, I know this is true. I just don't care. And I remember we had a gentleman from RZIM, which is Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. He came to our church several months ago. And what's happening is that the young people and the millennials, they're looking for clarity in the world of confusion. And I truly believe that a naturalistic view of our origins adds to that confusion. But I believe that when we recognize that in the beginning God created, that he created us, he created the world, he created the universe and everything else, that confusion becomes clarity. And then we begin to find our worth and our purpose in Christ Jesus. So that's why I want to talk about this topic today. We're going to talk about today with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Chafee. I met Tim via email. I'm sorry, not via email, via Facebook Messenger, because I talked to a good friend of his that we talked to last week. We talked to Keith Allen Robinson last week. He said, you know, you should reach out to Tim. I said, you know, I will. And so we did. And here. So, Tim, thank you so much for being with me on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited because, you know, this was what got me into apologetics, this whole conversation, you know. And before we go kind of dig into this, I want people to know who you are in your own words. So go ahead and tell us about who you are today.
Well, as you mentioned, my name is Tim Chafee, and I have the privilege of being the content manager for the attractions division of Answers in Genesis. That means I'm responsible for the content that we show at the Creation Museum or at the Ark Encounter. And it's really been a blessing to do that. I've been married for 21 years now to my lovely wife, and we've got two, well, I can't even say children anymore because our daughter is already grown up, and she betrayed me and got married last year. But she's doing wonderful.
Oh,
and then my son is 15. So God has tremendously blessed us. I grew up in a Christian home, and which that was a blessing as well. And I've never really gone through those seasons of doubt like a lot of people have. And I'm not saying anything like that to pat myself on the back. I think that God has just always kept me from messing up too much, even as much as I may have wanted to at some times. I was the kind of guy that would always get in trouble the first time I did something, and I look at that as God protecting me. So I'm thankful for that, even though I wasn't always thankful at the time.
I know, right? Like, why can I get away with it? Why do you do this to me? I remember one time I was in a apologetics group, and this guy had a phenomenal testimony. Oh my gosh, the Lord brought him through something. And I felt so inadequate because it's like, I don't have a testimony like that. And the one lady, I was feeling like, really bad.
People?
I know, right? And I felt bad, like, his testimony is phenomenal. And the girl shared a comment from a Christian comedian, and the guy was like, wow, wish I was on crack, because the guy came from some kind of, you know, because the testimony is just phenomenal. You're like, wow. But you know what? God still rewards us who are obedient to him. I always use the illustration of the elder son and the prodigal son, you know.
Yep.
And use the illustration because too often we harp on the prodigal son and we get mad at the elder son because he was upset. The elder son's sin was self-righteousness. But at the same time, mm-hmm. the father told him, he said, don't you know that everything I have is yours? You know,
right.
that everything I have is yours. And ever since I heard that, it's actually my twin sister, she's the one who really imparted that to us. She said, everything I have is yours. That obedience is his own reward. And God's going to still reward you for your obedience, even if it's not falling into sin or falling into some kind of trap or something that the Satan of our own making, you know. And that's what we have to be aware mm-hmm. of, because in this generation here, especially now with this a lot of the naturalistic and nihilistic viewpoints really being propagated through various media, it's important for us to bring clarity. So that's why I want to talk about this in the beginning God created. For those of you listening in, if you want to call in, you can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that one. Now, Tim, how did you get into the creation evolution arena?
Well, it's something that was always an interest to me. I remember, I think it was in first grade even, checking out a book on dinosaurs because, I mean, what little boy doesn't love dinosaurs? I've been a dinosaur geek ever since. And I remember getting home, and of course the first words in the book were millions of years ago or 65 million years ago. And I remember my parents telling me, you know, that part's not true. And that's something that always stuck with me. And it says not true because the Bible tells us, you know, the world is about this old. And I couldn't have answered all sorts of difficult questions, but I always believed what Scripture taught, you know, from a very young age. And I remember being in seventh grade in a science class, and the test question was, how old is the Earth? And I remember my answer was, you said in class, or the textbook said the Earth is 4.6 billion years old, but I believe it's about 6,000 years old. And to his credit, the teacher didn't mark it wrong. I know some in our day would do that. But he knew that I knew the material, but I was able to express my own view as well. So I've always had that belief. And I remember writing a paper in college on creation evolution. I would cringe, I think, if I looked at it now, knowing what I know.
mm-hmm.
And it really was about 20 years ago that I dove in headfirst into this issue and started reading everything I could, like you were talking about, listening to everything that I could. And it's been close to 20 years that this has been a real passion of mine.
It does become a passion. It does become a passion because all of us are looking for purpose. We are looking for the reason for being. And we're trying to understand, especially nowadays. I'm going to be doing a series of blog posts, Tim, on this show called Rick and Morty. And Rick and Morty is a animated cartoon which has a very nihilistic view. And it's very crass, dark humor. There are some elements of humor in there. I'm sorry. Dark humor sometimes can be just really funny. It can be. But as the seasons have progressed, it's actually got a little more bizarre. And I was telling, because I'm going to do this post pretty soon, I'll be inviting our listeners to follow that post. It's just interesting how, as the further away we get from God, these type of other ideas start to take form and start to take place. And so with that in mind, my next question is this. Why is it so important for us to be concerned about our origins?
Well, if you think about it, you know, that's one of those big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? You know, it relates to all of those things. If we are just the byproduct of random chance processes, if, you know, there is no purpose or meaning in this life, if matter is all that there is, or as Carl Sagan used to say, the cosmos is all that ever was and is and or ever will be, something like that. If that's true, then there's no one that we are accountable to upon death. When we die, we just go back to the ground and we become worm food, and that's it. We'll never know, you know, what, you know, will there ever be justice for a person like Adolf Hitler? Will there, you know, there really is no meaning and purpose to life. And you used the right word, that it's nihilistic. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing in our culture, the more and more we move away from God as our creator and at our foundation, we're seeing a culture that is consumed with, well, that devalues human life, And unfortunately, we saw another instance of that this week with the
the
most recent school shooting. And I'm not saying that it was just because of this issue, but overall, the devaluing of human life has such an impact in our culture. But look on the flip side, if God made us, and if we are created in His image, as Genesis 1, 26 and 27 talks about, then we have eternal value. Every single human being that has ever been born or that has ever existed, even before birth, I mean from the moment of conception, has significant value because we are made in the image of God. And so then we have purpose, we have meaning, and our lives should be lived to glorify Him. If you understand the gospel, we know that what Christ has done for us, because we have sinned against Him and we deserve His justice, but He gave His life for us, He rose from the dead, so that we can be forgiven and that we can dwell eternally with Him. And God has done so much for us. Why would we not want to give our lives in return?
It makes a lot of sense because, again, it gives us, like you said, that clarity. We get to understand, what we're here for, that God is here. That's the biggest thing. In the beginning, God, like the first four words, in the beginning, God, And
think about how we relate to one another. Or, if evolution is true, and when I say evolution, I'm using an atheistic evolution. No, God did not play any part. There's no God. If that kind of evolution is true, then you are no more valuable than a cat, than a blade of grass, than anything out there that we see. So if you can destroy a mosquito or an ant, then what's wrong with killing another person? It's no big deal. It's the same thing. And what we see is people even go further than that. I've seen interviews where people are asked, I think Ray Comfort does these, he'll ask people, hey, if there was a burning building, you could save your dog or you could save your neighbor or something like that, who would you save? And people will say their dog.
Yeah.
So we've even gotten to the point where it's okay to abort a child, but you cannot touch the egg of certain birds, like an eagle's egg or something like that. And so we place more value on the creature, on the animal, than we do on human beings. So it's not even that they view it as even anymore. They've skewed it so far in the other direction.
Yeah, and this is why we're having this kind of discussion. It's because in the beginning, God created. It's not that we're saying that the animals aren't important. I don't believe in animal cruelty like anyone else, And
right.
I was, we mentioned about the animal. I was thinking about a movie I saw called John Wick with Keanu Reeves. In the movie, Keanu Reeves, his wife died from some illness. And she had given him a dog on the day that he buried her. She had a dog delivered. The dog came and, just kind of helping him kind of get through his wife's death. And then the mob comes and blah, blah, and they kill his dog, right? And he goes on this rampage. He's on this rampage because he was in the mafia, whatever it was. He had got out of it. And you usually don't get out that kind of lifestyle. He had got up and he lived with his wife, And so they kill his dog. I remember they never showed the guy killing the dog. They show his arm raised in the head and boom, it's implied that they killed the dog. And I remember thinking, why is it that we can watch people getting shot in the head, but we cannot watch this animal get beat with a crowbar?
You're so right. In fact, and this, I'm maybe a little bit ashamed to admit this, but when I was in high school, there was a series of movies called Faces of Death. And I went to one with one of my buddies where you're watching footage of people dying for real, that was caught on camera. And then I remember watching that, and like I said, I'm a little ashamed today that I did that, but there was a scene where they showed a family who was preparing a dog, like a puppy, to eat, and people ran out of the theater disturbed. They were vomiting, that kind of thing, when they did that to the dog. But with the people, they were laughing and having a good time, and it's really bizarre.
Makes you wonder, how does the Lord love us? It really does make you wonder, Lord, in the light of your beauty, your glory, and your grace, it's like, we're like Isaiah. I'm a man, Isaiah, I'm sorry, Isaiah, a man unclean lips,
We certainly do not deserve it.
You know, the Lord said, I love you and you are my son. You are my daughter. See, that's in the beginning, God. And see, that comes back full circle to, you know, even though we mess up, he still loves us. He gives us that, you know, and right now they're still doing that though. There's websites now where you can see people have some horrific things happen to them. Very interesting. And so what I want to do is ask another quick question or take another break. My next question was ask you is this, what are the implications of a world created by evolutionary processes as proposed by Darwin? And before you answer that, I want to read the quote I picked up from Charles Darwin. He said, if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed, which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory will absolutely break down. But I can find no such case. That was Darwin. That's what he said back in the 1800s. So go ahead and tell us, what are the implications of that kind of world?
Well, I think I've addressed a little bit of that already. If mm-hmm. there is no creator, if we're you know, here because of chance process, evolutionary processes, if you want to say survival of the fittest, or maybe survival of the luckiest sometimes, but whichever one, however you want to look at it, there is no meaning or value in this life. There is no, ultimately, here's the thing, there is no right or wrong. And we hear skeptics who will, you know, contact us and say, how dare you teach young people about creation? You know, Richard Dawkins says that's child abuse, and other people have been saying that lately too. But what, mm-hmm. from their worldview, if there's no God, what's wrong with child abuse? What's wrong yeah. with anything? How can they say anything is right or wrong? Because everything just is. You know, mm-hmm. I mentioned before, it's not wrong to kill a mosquito per se. So why would it be wrong to kill any other animal or any other thing? Because there is no inherent value in any of those. It's just a random collection of molecules, and there is no purpose. And a lot of people have figured that out, which is why there's so much hopelessness and why we see people behaving in some of the way that they do. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I had alluded to Rick and Morty. I was going to read a quote, and this is the quote that actually I was in my room. My husband was watching it, and I was in my room, and I was like, not my room, but my office, and I said, what in the world? And I came out, and Morty, who's the 14-year-old boy, imagine, okay, he's 14. This is 14-year-old. He says, nobody exists on purpose. Nobody belongs anywhere. Everybody's going to die. Come watch TV. That's what he said in the show. And I remember going, what in the world? You know, I just hadn't. You know, it blew me away. And that kind of is what happens when you have that viewpoint that it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. It doesn't matter. We're not meant to be here anyway. You know, it was just an accident
right.
of everything. Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're not saying that every single person who believes in evolution lives that out consistently. You know, there are a lot of people who are still kind people. And so I want to make sure we don't, you know, try to paint everybody with a broad brush, but carry it out consistently. That is what the view leads to.
Yeah. You know, and some people aren't quite willing to go where that viewpoint leads to. And some people are very honest about it. And with that honesty, you have to come to the conclusion that in the beginning, nothing mattered, you know. And so that's why we're having this conversation about in the beginning, God created. And if you want to weigh in on our topic, you can simply call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that one to be live on air. Now, I do have a question. And I have a couple responses, but I want to get your input as well to our listeners. Do you think creation science should be taught alongside evolutionary science? I want to get your opinion. Call again, 646-668-8485, and then press that 1 to be live on air. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very happy you are here with me as we talk about In the Beginning, God Created. And we have been exploring the philosophical implications behind this phrase, in the beginning, because it makes a whole difference of how we feel about what we are here in the world doing. Why are we here? Who brought me here? What is my purpose? What I'm supposed to do with my life? And so we're talking about that with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Chafee. Tim is an author, an apologist, and content manager of the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. I know some of you, most of you, have heard about that, so we can't wait to talk about that, too, with our guest co-host and contributor, Tim. And Tim, once again, thanks for being with me as we continue our discussion into In the Beginning, God Created. What I wanted to do was ask you another question, because kind of like the opposite of what we asked before the break. We asked, what are the implications of a world created by evolutionary processes as opposed by Darwin? So what are the implications of a world created by a creator? And go ahead, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but if you can, go ahead and expand on that for me.
Yeah, before I mentioned that, if we are created by God, as the Bible explains, and we're made in his image, that means every single person, from the youngest to the oldest, is made in God's image and has really infinite value. We're going to be dwelling for eternity in one of two places, either in glory with him or apart from him, suffering for eternity. And so every single human being matters. And the other thing, there's several other things we see. We would want to know who he is and what he expects from us. Why did he make us? Is it just so that we can go out and do whatever we want? Or is it that he expects us to do something to honor him with our lives, to, that phrase, image of God? There, theologians have wrestled with that for a long time about exactly what it, and, how much does it encapsulate, and what does it mean? And lately, one of the ideas that had been becoming more and more popular is, if you think of it more as a verb, that we are to image God. We are to reflect God. He is to the world, and that's been a pretty helpful way for people to understand it. So we've probably heard that when Christians talk sometimes, like when the world looks at us, they should see Jesus. Well, that's really kind of what it is. It's mm-hmm. When the world looks at us, they should see godly behavior. We should be serving him in a way that where we're showing love to one another. I mean, if you think of Jesus' command, love one another. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And, what's amazing is how offensive that message is in our world. You can talk about anyone and anything in school, but you bring Jesus up, and that's the worst thing ever. And yet he told us to love one another and to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, love your neighbors, yourself, and love your enemies. That I have a tough time seeing why that's offensive. But,
yeah.
That's how we should be living because of what God has done. And then what the implications has for the world itself is, we should see hallmarks of God's design, God's creativity in this world. And my goodness, when you look at the creatures that God has made, when you look at the plants, when you look at the human body, and you see just extraordinary design that, the whole Darwinian thing, the quote you read from Darwin earlier, if it could be shown that one organ could come about with that, that couldn't be done through the process that he described. Well, there's not a single one that could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are so far more complex than anything he ever imagined. And if people would just take a few minutes to stop and look at the world around them and look at what he's made. It's mind-blowing.
You know, it's interesting as you mentioned that, because in Darwin's day, a cell was just a gelatinous blob, you know.
It was just a little tiny blob. They had no idea that it was more complex than even a city. And
yeah,
I mean, you have all these little
bodies.
Well, but it's not just a city. It's a city that replicates itself every 15 minutes.
I know.
and it fixes itself. It's mind-blowing how complex even the so-called simple organisms are. They're more complex than anything we can make.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that came about by chance.
I remember listening. It was some years ago, because it's been a while since I've been in apologetics, because I was focusing on writing. And so, like I said, the Lord's been nudging me toward this again, and a lot of things I remember are starting to come back to me. And one of the things I remember was Stephen Meyer, who's the author of Signature in the Cell. He talks about how, as he was preparing the book, one of his friends who was a programmer kind of threw something down. I don't know if it was his manuscript or whatever, but he was asking to kind of look at it or whatever. And the programmer was like, you know what? I've seen this before. And he was like, what are you talking about? You know, he said, this is like a programmer. The stuff that's going on in the cell, he said, this is like a programmer. Mm-hmm. Like, and you have this, you know, signature of design within us. That's where the intelligent design community kind of comes into play. They take a more neutral aspect toward creation. You know, we're going to just follow wherever the evidence leads, which I think is okay. It's not bad. But what happened in regards to that, they come with the flying spaghetti monster, because they say, okay, it's a creator,
right,
but it could be the flying spaghetti monster. Or like, I'm an alien versus the Predator fan, Tim. I like my monster movies from back in the day. And what happened, like Ridley Scott, what he did, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling for some people out there, I'm so sorry, what he did is that, okay, so what, you're the creator is all that great anyway. So that's what they're doing when you take the kind of more generic, broad term, you know, and I get where they're going with that. I don't disagree with what they're trying to do, you know, but when you more specific and say, in the beginning, God created, that's when you're saying, no, we're narrowing it down to Jesus Christ, you know, we're narrowing it down to the God of the Bible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important what you just said, because what I hear all the time from young people now, and not just young people, but from others, they'll mock the idea that the God of the Bible created, and they'll spaghetti monster, or, you know, some of these other beliefs, the Pastafarians, they call themselves.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, how do you know it wasn't this one? Or why couldn't it be this God? Or what about the gods of the other nation? Guess what? The God of the Bible showed himself. They'll say,
mm-hmm.
well, why didn't he come down and show? He did.
Mm-hmm.
He came 2,000 years ago to the earth, and he lived among us, and he fulfilled all these prophecies that were spoken of hundreds of years in advance, and said, here's what he's going to do when he shows up. And he did all of those. And he didn't just come and say, look how great I am. He said, you know what? I'm going to come here, and I'm going to die for you. Completely different than anything that humans would make up. For God
mm-hmm.
so loved the world. And that is that's the gospel message, that Christ, the Son of God, came down to die in our place, to die for us, so that we could be forgiven. I mean, if you break it down, the two things, the thing that we desire the most, if you throughout history, if you think about what people really want, and that is to live forever. They want to cheat death
mm-hmm.
somehow. And the thing that we need the most, even though some people won't acknowledge it, maybe don't realize it, is to be forgiven by our holy Creator. And the
mm-hmm.
crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ provide both of those.
Yeah. You know, I think another thing, too, I think why people shy away from the God of the Bible is because in his holiness, we recognize just how broken and how flawed we are and just how much we actually need him. I actually think that's some of it, too. I think some people harden their hearts to him because we would realize just how much we actually need him. I know for myself, you know, the shooting in Florida really affected me. I was crying when I came home, and I just was so angry for a while. Like, God, you know, the kids, you know, why? You know, why are we having these shootings? And everyone started going political about the guns and all that. I said, I don't think it's just about the guns. I think it's people's hearts. People's hearts need God. They need to turn to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you know. And
Amen.
Once we do that, then this other stuff will get more clarity. That's what I was saying earlier in the broadcast with the current generation. They're in confusion. Then when things like this happen, you're forced to think, is what I always believe right? These kind of situations, not that we want them to happen, especially to our children, you know, but these kind of situations force us to have these thoughts. And another thing that happened, you can, of course, talk about this too, Tim. Another thing that happened is that you're looking for the why. Why did this happen? Why did this go into play? And it comes back to in the beginning, God, if you were here in the beginning, why did you let this happen now? You know? So go ahead and expand on that a little bit, Tim. I hope my question makes sense because I think I was rambling a little bit.
Sense.
Okay, good.
No, I get it completely. And let me take it out of the realm of the school shooting issue for a
sure.
moment, because every single one of us faces death at some point. And there are tragedies in this world, and there are horrible things that take place in this world, like we saw this last week. It is tragic, and I think you're right to be frustrated and angry and to be broken over that. 11 and a half years ago, I was diagnosed with acute promyelocytic leukemia. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but there was one question I never asked. I never said, Lord, why me?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because I knew why me. It's because I am a sinner, and the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve to die because
mm-hmm.
I've rebelled against God. But he has been gracious. In fact, my question was, why did you wait 32 years? I mean, that's how old I was at the time. And I'm not saying
wow.
there was one particular sin I did that gave me leukemia. I'm not going there. I'm not saying that. But as a sinner who lives in a sin-cursed world, that's part of it. And, you know, God was gracious, and I had some great doctors and nurses and great support from people and so many people praying for me. And I'm alive today, and I'm healthy.
Amen.
And God has been finished with me. He knew he wanted me to be doing stuff on the ark and other things and to be on this program today. And I'm grateful
Amen.
For that.
I love that.
So there are difficult things, but we need to understand that the reason they happen is ultimately because of sin. And it's not necessarily because, you know, those kids, those children who were shot this week, it's not because they did one particular sin that they deserve to get this. That's not what I'm saying. But
mm-hmm.
we live in a fallen, broken world that's broken because of sin, and there are going to be good things and bad things that happen as a result. And unfortunately, that is what takes place.
You know, I totally, I'm resonating with you because my twin sister had cancer in 2016. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And that was very tough for me. She's my twin, you know. And that was extremely
right.
tough for me. I remember telling my listeners about it. And then I put on my Facebook, and so many people stormed heaven on our behalf. And I remember having my face stretched because I'll be honest with you, had it been just me, I probably would have had the same, probably, I don't know, but I probably would have had the same, you know, Lord, you know, we're going to go through this together, Lord. But it was my twin, and we're seeing someone
right.
I love very much in pain and knowing there is nothing you can do. And I remember my faith being stretched and that rubber band was just stretching. I'm like, you know, why my twin sister? I remember thinking that, you know. And so I can honestly say that for those of you who are listening out there, in the beginning God created, if you look at that, there's a sense of eternity with those words, that in the beginning God, and in the end God, in the middle God, and all between God, you know, that he is going
Amen.
To sustain us, you know. And so that's why we're talking about in the beginning God, to help, hopefully for those of you who are listening, if you are in a state of confusion, that this clarity that we bring you is that in the beginning God created, in the beginning God was here, in the end he'll continue to be there. So your origins and your purpose are wrapped up in the eternal, everlasting creator, Jesus Christ, you know. And so I want, hopefully, that you'll be encouraged by that. And so I want to, because I know I want to get to the ark encounter. I know some of our listeners, they reached out to you like, oh, my gosh, the ark, you know. They were so excited. Like, okay, so I want to get to that. But before I do that, I got to ask this question. And this is because, if I could preface this, Tim, when I got to apologetics, I had joined the Christian Apologetics Alliance. And it was relatively
mm-hmm.
new when I had joined. I still consider myself an unofficial member. And I will ride that until I die, okay, because I enjoyed – being with them, they opened my mind to apologetics and, you know, wonderful dialogue. But so what happened,
mm-hmm.
among Christians, it can summarily be divided up between young earth creationism, older creationism, and theistic evolution. Summarily, there are probably some other interpretations out there, but summarily, those are like the big three, okay? Despite
mm-hmm.
the many differences of opinions, what is your personal belief about what unifies all these views together?
Well, if we're talking about the Christian views of those,
yeah, the Christian,
because
yeah.
you know, yeah, then I would say the one thing that unifies these is Jesus Christ. Is that, mm-hmm. you know, can a person, you know, somebody like a Dr. Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe, who's a progressive creationist, so he believes that God created over the course of billions of years, can mm-hmm. he, even though I strongly disagree with him, and I've had a debate with him and chatted with him before, but so we strongly disagree on the age of the earth and how to interpret Genesis. But can he believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins and rose from the dead? And if the answer is yes, then mm-hmm. then Christ is what unites us, is who unites us. And we can, you know, we can be fellow believers, even though we have strong disagreements on a topic that, as we've been talking about already, is very important. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, it's just a side issue. It doesn't matter if you believe in young earth or old earth or... Well, there are serious implications of it, but it doesn't mean that the person can't believe the gospel. And I'll just give you a couple real quickly if I can. If you believe in the billions of years, no matter which view you might want to cling to, whether it's the gap theory or day age theory or progressive creation or the framework hypothesis, any of these other ones, and I've written at length about these, then you are, no matter how you do it, you're always putting death, suffering, disease, and thorns millions of years before Adam and Eve ever sinned. And so when mm-hmm. God tells Adam, hey, if you eat from this, you're going to die, Adam could have said, everything dies already. So what, God? Adam, mm-hmm. because you did this, the ground's going to produce thorns and thistles. So what, God? There's already been thorns and thistles. And mm-hmm. if you think about this, and here's where it gets so important. If Adam's sin did not bring physical death into this world, then how come the solution to sin is the physical death of the Son of God on the cross and then the physical bodily resurrection from the grave? If mm-hmm. sin and death have no connection, which is what old earth creationism does, if it has no consistent connection back with Adam, then it undermines the foundation of the gospel. I'll say it that way. It doesn't mean that they can't believe the gospel. I just believe they're being very inconsistent on that point. And then with theistic evolution, well, I guess the other thing it does is just how do you treat God's word? How do you seek to try to understand what it says, what Scripture says, or are you trying to read your own ideas into it? And I think we should be humble enough to do our very best to allow God's word to speak to us. And if it happens to go against what we believe, then I would say change your belief. Don't change what it says. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of older creationists don't think they're doing that. You know, they've been told, oh, you can interpret it this way. So I'm not trying to attack their motives, but mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear that based on the fact there really were not older creation views until the 1800s when the idea of billions of years started to become popular. Mm-hmm. People suddenly started to see these things in the text that nobody was seeing before.
You know, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead. I was going to say one other area that has a huge implication for the flood. If you believe in old earth creationism, then you cannot have a global flood in Noah's day. You have to reinterpret what that passage means. You have to say that it was just a local or a regional. Then you no longer have an explanation for all of the fossil record or the majority of the fossil record that we see for the rock layers that are out there. And you can't explain the world around us in a consistent way that makes sense with Scripture. So mm-hmm. there are a lot of, I mean, we could talk about that for hours, but there are a lot of implications of believing in old earth, even though they can be my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and they can be very godly people, and they can lead people to the Lord, and I praise God for that. I try to have the attitude that Paul had. Mm-hmm. You know, he was talking about people, even if they do it for wrong reason, if Christ is preached, you know, praise God.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for myself, when I got into this, I fall into the young earth creation arena as well. And for me, it just made sense for me. This was probably before I even got really deep into it, but I knew this was an issue, you know. I was like, miracles for me, and mind you, this may be too simplistic for my well-learned listeners out there, but for me, it was like a miracle is usually something that happens very quickly. You know, let me back up. In the context of creation, I think creation is a miracle, okay, that God can take nothing, and we've never seen nothing because it's nothing, and make something. It's a miracle, okay? Now, however, mm-hmm. One of the things that helped me to calm down about this, which is why I asked the question, was this. I said, you know what? It wouldn't matter if you put a date on it, like the one guy, he said 4004, that the earth was created on 4004. I can't remember the actual date.
Bishop Usher, yep. October 23rd at like 3 p.m. or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, whoa, that's really precise, you know, but,
right.
And I never agreed with that, but by any means, I never agreed with that, but it didn't matter if it was thousands of years old, it was millions of years old. If Jesus Christ did not come and save us from our sins, it would not matter. I have to understand it like that. It wouldn't matter. That's what helped me calm down. It was like, I was getting these long, huge threads, Facebook threads, and unfriending people, you know, stuff, because we're raw, you know, and that's why I asked the question, because through it, we can all vehemently disagree with each other, but at the end of the day, we are still brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, and
right.
that we are still doing God's work. We're still doing God's work. So I had an Old Earth Creationist on my show a few weeks ago, and we weren't talking about creationism. He just on the show for another topic. And, you know, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. I still enjoy having him on. I think he's a wonderful apologist and just a wonderful young man in God, you know. And I disagree with him vehemently about the age of the earth. We don't get into blows over it, because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ did not die for our sins, and he did not rise again from the dead. It wouldn't matter. We'd be still lost in our sins no matter how old the earth is. And so that's why I wanted to bring that together. When we come back, we'll be talking to Tim about the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. I know some of you had questions about that, and so we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
I hope you have been having so much fun with me on the Parker J. Cole Show today. We've been having just a scintillating discussion about In the Beginning, God Created with Tim Chafee from the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. He is an author as well as an apologist, as well as a content manager for the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. I know some of you were really excited to be talking about that. And you know, Tim, time goes so fast. We're at the last few minutes of our show, and I do want to give people an opportunity for you to peel back the veil of your day at the Ark Encounter. But before you do that, we may be having listeners who've never even heard of the Ark Encounter, who think it's just a bunch of Bible people dressed up in old robes, like in a cult, and running around the forest talking about it's going to run, you know. So go ahead, tell us what the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum is all about, and then peel back the veil of your day.
Okay. Well, you just described it, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
yeah, the Ark Encounter is a it's a world class attraction. We back in 2016 we opened a full size Noah's Ark, and it's complete with exhibits throughout all three decks, and it's built to the same specifications that you see in Scripture regarding the size of the Ark, so 300 cubits by 50 by 30. And for people who don't understand how big that is, it kind of depends on the size of the cubit that's used, but that would be about 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet tall. And so it's much longer than a football field. It's enormous when you go there, and it's always fun to ride the bus up toward the Ark and then watch people's reactions when they get to see the Ark up close for the first time, and you watch their jaws drop. And when you go in, you get to tour all three decks, and we have exhibits all the way throughout there. And I mentioned earlier I have had the unique privilege, my assistant and me, of writing all of the content that you see throughout the Ark and for all of the different exhibits. Just it's so neat to be able to go down there and watch people. Even on opening day, I knew this was going to be something special because we had a lot of atheist protesters who were down there. Maybe about 75 of them were at the off-ramp who were protesting the opening of the Ark. And I had a buddy who said, "Hey, Tim, can you come down and I'm going to order some Chick-fil-A. Would you bring some down and I'll pick it up and deliver it for me?" And so I thought, this is my first day off in like 5 months. But okay, I guess I'll do it. And he's like, can you stick around for like an hour and answer questions? I said, yeah, I'll do that too. And ended up being about 3 hours that we were out there just talking to people, having these really good conversations. And then he said, "Hey, we're going to take 20 of these people on a tour through the Ark. Would you lead it?" And I thought, are you kidding me? I get to take 20, and ended up being 21 atheists and agnostics through the Ark on opening day. And it was awesome. We had really good, respectful conversations. I got to do a Q&A with him at the end. I got to share the gospel. It really was a fantastic day, every day since, every time I get to go down to the Ark, it's really a blessing to me.
I remember, I'm not deliberately trying to self-promote here, but I'm just saying, but in one of my books, I have the Ark in one of my books, okay? And I remember when I was, and it was around the time I started to get into the creation evolution debate, I was starting to get into it. And what happened is that I was blown away when one of the scientists, I was actually in Hovind's camp before all that stuff went down with Hovind, but I was in Hovind's camp, and he said, you know, how big was the Ark? And then he had said stuff I had never heard before. And that's what these type of exhibits help, to give you a perspective you've never heard before, especially when you're coming from the understanding, okay, it's through naturalistic processes and evolution and macroevolution, not micro, but macroevolution and stuff like that, that this is how we came to be. And then when I heard things I had never heard before, it just blew your mind off the water. And to have some scientific data, some scientific understanding behind that, it just changed Genesis 1 for me. It totally changed. I read it again. I was like, in the beginning, God created. And all of a sudden, all the things I had learned, I felt like my brain blew up, you know, like, oh my goodness, I have been shown a whole new world, that I don't have to depend on a purposeless process for my existence and somehow attribute that to God. God had a hand in me. He molded me. He used his pen and arched my eyebrows and gave me these lips and everything. And then he put me into a small, 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 tiny, 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 tiny little cell. And I said, boom, this is Parker. You know what I mean? And it blows your mind. You know, then you say, in the beginning, God created. And then you look at the Ark and how that has, we could probably do 4,000 shows in just the Ark, you know, and how that has implications for how the world is today, and just all kind of stuff. I know our listeners out there, they're going to want more information about the Ark and Ark Encounter, the Ark Encounter Creation Museum. So if they want to go visit there, where can they go visit? Is there an online component? Maybe they can't get to it. They can look at videos, stuff like that. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, they can find out a lot more about both those places. The Ark Encounter, the website is arkencounter.com, and then there's the Creation Museum, creationmuseum.com. Might be .org, but I think it's .com. Or you can go to the Facebook pages, Creation Museum or the Ark Encounter. And then the ministry behind both of those is Answers in Genesis. That's who I work for. And, you know, we've got thousands and thousands of articles on the website dealing with apologetics, dealing with creation evolution, worldview issues. Even yesterday, I got to go see the new Samson movie and posted a review of it on the website. So even some of the modern issues that we see, if they're related to Scripture in some way, we deal with that. So people can check those things out at the website or on Facebook.
You know, I love Answers in Genesis. Like I said, it matches my view of Orge, especially like the younger thing. But I also love some of the other creation ministries that may not match the view, because one thing we are doing is tackling the questions of origin. We are tackling the questions of it. You know what I mean? I think that's another thing that unifies us. We are tackling this question because it has such a huge implication for who we are today. It's just a massive implication, because there are people wanting to commit suicide. There are people who want to hurt others because they don't believe they have a purpose. Why not hurt someone? I want to. Why can't I do that? You see what I'm saying? And so, like I said, throughout this whole broadcast, by bringing clarity into an age of confusion, clarity starts to become beautiful again. It starts to become wonderful again. And that's why I'm so glad you took time out of your schedule to be with us to talk about In the Beginning God Created. And so what I want to do, if people want to personally connect with you, because you also have books out there, apologetic books for young people and for the old ones too, you know, but you have books out there. And Tim is going to be back with us later on this year to talk about his books, but I do want you to get just a quick glimpse of his books. So Tim, go ahead and tell us about your books and what parents could expect and what the readers could expect.
Sure. Well, I've done several nonfiction books and also some novels. The nonfiction either deal with creation evolution. I have one about my own leukemia cancer testimony that I mentioned earlier. My favorite one is on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I've written a book called In Defense of Easter, and that is by far my favorite subject to talk about. I get really excited when we talk about the resurrection. So, you know, Easter time's coming up pretty soon, and my calendar gets pretty busy because of that. But I love it. I just can't. It's so exciting to think about the fact that our Lord conquered death.
Amen.
But then my novels, I've got a youth fiction series. There's six books in the series called The Truth Chronicles. So it's kind of a time traveling adventure following these high school students around, and a lot of fun. A lot of adventure and a lot of apologetics packed in there, because at the beginning of the story, one of the young ladies is a believer, her three friends are not, and so they're challenging each other throughout. And then my newest series is the Remnant Trilogy, which is about Noah. It's a coming-of-age story for Noah, and it's sort of the semi-official backstory for Noah and his family members that you see at the Ark Encounter. And there's so many different things that interact with what you see in the exhibits at the Ark. So the Ark kind of brings the novels to life, but the novels give a whole lot of background to what you see at the Ark. And so they mesh well together. And it's been a lot of fun. And actually today I'm finishing up the last of my edits on book three, the last one. So I'm going to be sending that off to the editor today. So I'm pretty happy about that.
And if people want to connect with you online, where can they connect with you at?
Well, I've got a website. It is MidwestApologetics.org, and that's where my blog will be. And then if they want to find out, you know, kind of up-to-date information, I've got an author page on Facebook. They can look my name up, Tim Chaffey, Chaffey, and go to my author page there. They can follow me there. I've got a Twitter account with the same handle as well, at Tim Chaffey. They can find me those different ways. A lot of people have found me, and some have not always been nice. So hopefully your listeners will be nice.
Well, you know what? It goes with the territory. You know, this topic is a hot topic for a reason. And that's what I want you to kind of end on. You know, this topic is a big deal for some reason. Some people do not want to hear they have purpose. Some people don't. I think people want... We think we want the freedom of not being able to answer to anyone. You know, we want the freedom of do whatever I want to do. I don't want to be made accountable for that. And some people and other people may say, you know what, if God is this, we have too much problems in the world. God can't be powerful. God can't be this. You know, there's reasons why people reject that. But in the beginning, God created, it's telling us there's more to the story than what we want. There's a truth here, it's not polluted by anything. It's a truth that shines, like a diamond. It shines, and there's nothing you can do to cover it up. That in the beginning, God created. And I want you to end with your final thoughts about in the beginning, God created.
Well, I think what you just touched on is so important, that there are a lot of people who they say that they don't believe God exists, but they sure are offended by him. There are a lot of people who are really bothered by the idea that they might be accountable to somebody when they die. And the thing is, they love their sin too much. And, you know, Romans 1 kind of talks about a lot of people who, even though they know God or they knew God, they did not like to retain the knowledge of God in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They started to worship the creature rather than the creator. They willfully suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. And we see a lot of that in our culture where people, it's not a evidence issue, it's a heart issue. They don't want to believe, because if they do believe, then there are certain things that go with the territory that we need to humble ourselves rather than live for self. We need to become selfless instead of selfish. And that's hard to do because our flesh loves itself so much. And even as Christians, we wrestle with that. So when we think of the issue of origins, it speaks to all of those things, tells us who we are, why we're here, where we're headed, and ultimately tells us that we can trust that our God is who he says he is. He's the God who created this world, and there was no death, suffering, and disease when he created it. Those things are here because of us, and yet God set out to fix that problem by sending his son to die in our place and then to raise him from the dead, showing he has power over the grave. That's what it boils down to.
Tim, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the show today, and I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Parker, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it and looking forward to being back as well.
I know I had a good time talking to Tim today. Did you? I would love to hear your responses. Just, you can email me at rightstuffradio@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought. Or if you want to reach out to Tim directly, he gave you his website, which is midwestapologetics.org. Connect with him there. And if you disagree, be nice. We can always disagree and be respectful in our disagreements. We don't have to fall into insanity and virulence. But I really think this is such an important topic for us to talk about. And I really think we just scratched the surface of, in the beginning, God created. So I'm going to let our listeners know we will be having Tim back again for part two of this discussion and continue to talk about our origins and the purpose behind our origins, which is not in just doing what we want to do, but in worshiping our creator who gave us life and gave us purpose in him, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining me for this show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.